G.L. Smith of Corpus Christi, Texas. Mr. Smith was born in 1896.
A little town of Henderson, Tennessee. I worked with my dad in a flour mill and a gin. The gin at that day was about seven bales a day is all we could gin. And it was pulled by a mule. And I stayed with dad till he went to farming. And I farmed a while. And I was called out to World War I. And when I got back to World War I, I didn't have any job. And couldn't find any job. And I didn't want to farm. So I had a cousin, Surreal, Oklahoma. And I went out to the oil field. And I got a job for the Rocky Mountain Oil Company. And I worked for them quite a while. Then I went to Denver, Oklahoma, working for J.D. Patrick. And our rigs then was very small. We had two little boilers, one Ajax, single barrel Ajax engine with a flywheel.
Was this a steam engine?
Yeah. And we carried 125 pounds of steam with a 2-inch steam line. And it took us about 30 to 35 days to drill a well down to 3,000 feet. And today, with the machinery, we can drill that well in 2 days. And the machinery of today, they've got a big twin engine. They have 4 boilers with 450 pounds of steam, with 4 and 5-inch steam lines, and it's no problem to go 20,000 feet now. And our deepest hole now is around a little better than 30,000 feet deep.
How deep were you drilling them when you were in the oil field?
3,600 was pretty deep hole in, and we had to have a 9-tooth sprocket to get off the bottom, so we used 6-inch drill pipe. And I stayed in that billet boom. It was pretty rough. Hijacking, dope peddlers, gamblers, outlaws, and our boom was really rough back in those days.
What year was this?
That was 1922.
1922.
And so we got to getting a little better machinery, got to using a 3-inch steam line and a little bigger engine. And I stayed there for about, in the later part of 22, I went to Tonkawa, Oklahoma. And I worked there for about a year and a half, and we had a little better machinery then. I kept always improving on our work, and we could dig a well then down to 3,600 in about 15 to 20 days.
Could you describe what the derrick looked like?
Well, the derrick was wooden, 85 feet tall, and I pulled several of them. Two of them, I pulled two different derricks down. I broke several drilling lines. But I never got hurt. The only time I ever got hurt, I mashed the finger nearly off on grip reins. Now, the grip reins is a thing, it turns a Kelly. Today they've got Kelly bushings that drops in the rotary and fits around the Kelly.
What's
a Kelly? A grip reins was a great big, weigh about 400 or 500 pounds. It had rollers, 4 big rollers. It had teeth. You screwed these rollers in and it caught that drill pipe, see? and held it. And so there was mighty few people in this day had ever seen a grip ring. The whole time. And our pipe was 6 inches, upset, 28 pounds. And we couldn't pull. You know, it was a load. It was heavy on our machinery in them days. And we cemented our own circle, our own pipe. We jetted the pit out.
What does jetted the pit out mean?
At the slush pit. Well, you know, the mud, it picks up and circulates. And we mixed our cement in the slush pit. And we pumped it down with our own pumps. We made our plug. We went out in the woods and cut down a tree. We cut off 4 feet off of the tree, just a little bigger than the pipe. Then we threw this plug in the boiler and burnt the bark off of it. Then we taken a drawing knife and dressed the plug down where it would fit in the side of the pipe. Then we put some gunny sacks on top of this plug. And then we pumped it to bottom and pick up a pipe about a foot off the bottom where it gets good circulation. Then we pumped it to bottom. And she was cementing. Then we waited 8 days for the cement to set. And now it started tying down, rigging down in 12 hours now.
So it took you 8 days then before you could tear the drilling rig down?
Yeah, it was 8 days before. Back in them days, it didn't have no preventers. And the rig sat on the floor, right down on the ground. The rig floor was right down on the ground. You could just step up on it.
Could you explain what a preventer is?
Well, a blowout preventer is protection. It sets on top of your surface pipe, and when the well starts kicking, it's automatic closes by water. Just open a valve, and it'll lock right around that pipe and set off the circulation. See, or shut it in. Then you can open the valve below with a choke in it and bleed it off and pump into it all the same time, see. But we didn't have that then. We had a blowout there in Oklahoma, and it was 7 days. We were capping it. We didn't have no preventer, and it blew out on us. And we capped that. It blowed the top of the derrick out, and we went across the derrick. Out here we tied a drilling line on a tree, and we come up through the corner of the derrick, and we clamped a block and tackle in the center, right in the center over the hole, and we went out over the other side and went to a stump over yonder with a turnbuckle and tightened this line. And we had our cat line in this block. Well, we put a 8-inch valve on the joint of pipes, made it up on the wall. Then we latched onto it with this cat line, and we pulled it up on the rig floor, and we put 4 guy lines on it. We go to each corner of the deck, and as near the hole we get it, while the tighter it gets, see. And I was at the cat head, and I drug it across that gas. It was going 100 feet high, see, and we set it down in and made it up, then we closed the valve.
You talked about a cat head there. Could you explain that?
Yeah, the cat head works on the line shape. That's when it's about that long.
About a foot and a half long.
You know, you've seen them, probably. And you can wind that cat line around it, and you can pick up most any amount you want to pick up. Much of the big cat line will hold, see.
Was anyone injured in this particular blowout? Was anyone injured in this blowout?
When the mud started, we all run. Nobody injured.
Is this the only blowout that, you ever were involved in?
Oh, no. I've been in blowout, a lot of them. I've hit all this clarkwood here. I was in here when them well blew out. I thought blowout in that, that well in 19 and Thursday, 1938, I guess. It blew out in Alice and blew out in Tom Graham's refinery. I killed that well by offsetting it and digging a directional well right underneath, you see. And it was, I think we were 36 days killing that well. It almost run that refinery with mud in it that deep. In 1924, we didn't have no blowout preventers. And we dug a well right between two strippers. And it was a big gas well. And it blew out.
What's a stripper?
A stripper is a small well, one of those pumping wells, and it blew out on us, and we had seven days of capturing this well, and we used, to cap it, we made up a 8-inch joint of pipe on a big 8-inch valve, then the part of the derrick was blown down, and we used a cable from over from one side of the rig out in the woods and tied onto a stump and went through the corner of the derrick and fastened a snatch block in the center of the derrick, went out the other corner and went over to a stump and taken a turnbuckle and tied the line. And we tied a cat line on a piece of pipe, put four lines to each corner of the derrick, and I drug it through the gas from over the cat head, and we set her down and closed her in, and it's mounted 90 million feet a day. And what do you want next?
Have you had anything to do with fires in the oil wells?
Yes, we had a lot of fires in East Texas. And no preventer. In the early part, the well would blow out and catch fire. Lost a lot of rig, lost a lot of men. And but now, today, they got preventers, and they can shut the well in, and it's all safe, pretty well safe today.
I understand you were involved in just one little episode with the fire. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was swabbing a well one night in Oklahoma, and had all over the floor, all over tools. A light bulb set off the oil, blew me off the rig floor, but just a little bruise is all.
Well, could you tell us a little bit about the conditions that you worked under? I understand they're a little different from what they are today.
Well, back in the old days, a paycheck was very small. The drillers got 90 cents an hour, 12 hours work. And we walked to and from work, anywhere from 3 to 4 miles, and there wasn't very many cars. And if you had a car, you couldn't have drove it, the roads were so bad. And we moved our machinery with horses and mules. Take from 3 to 4 days, sometimes 6 or 8 if the roads was muddy, to move our machinery from one location to another. And it taken 8 to 10 days to rig up. And today, there were get one rig from one location to the other in one day and set service the next. It's quite a little bit in the difference from today and then, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Could you tell us about some of the ways that you moved the equipment, about the wagons? What did the wagons look like?
Well, we had what they call a boiler wagon, had 8 wheels, and had a 4-horse team to pull to the boiler. And you know, they were pretty fast loading them boilers. I know at one time it timed it, and the horses was well trained, and it was the best horses anywhere in the world at that time. You could, they drove up inside of a boiler, and in 13 minutes they had it on top of the wagon. Hmm. And that's just about, as good as a truck can do today. But of course, our boilers was little, and today the boilers is big and heavy.
Well, we see that you had some.
And our traveling block was 2 shells, 4 lines is all we had. Although when we'd get down a little deeper, we'd take a dead line, we'd unhook it, had it in a bicket over in the corner of the day. We'd unhook this bicket, hook it to the top of our blocks, and pull out about 15 to 20 stands, and we'd drop our blocks down and put our dead line back in the corner, come on out with 4 lines. Dig in one for 6 to 7 hours to make a trip.
I would imagine working in the oil fields as long as you did, that you had quite a few experiences, things that happened that was kind of rough back then, I understand.
Yeah, it was rough, and then about finding the oil sand back those days, we made our own core barrels. We'd take a joint of 6-inch drill pipe, we'd take a hacksaw, dynamo welder, we'd take a hacksaw and saw that off, then we'd cut notches in the bottom of that joint of pipe. Then we'd punch 2 holes with a punch about 2 feet above the notches, and we'd go in and cut a 6-inch core, anywhere from a foot to 18 inches. Sometime we'd get up, plumb on up to the hole, up 2-foot core. And today, they've got a core barrel with diamond teeth that can cut any formation, 20, 25, 30-foot cores, and without any trouble at all. And they've also got a slumberger that survey the hole. They find all the sand from top to bottom. And we couldn't do that. We had to watch our cuttings, and watch our pits, see if there's any shore on our pits, wash out our cuttings, and check them every 4 or 5 feet. A lot of difference between now and then. And in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a little town out about 7 miles, called Three Sands. And the reason they called it Three Sands, they had oil sands out there. And they just named the little town Three Sands.
What's an oil sand?
Oil, that's just like a water sand. That's a formation, see? It carries your oil. You understand?
Yes, sir.
You may have 10 foot, you may have 40 feet, you may have 50 feet. And if you've got you've got a sand here at 3,000 feet deep, 15-foot sand. Well, you've got another sand right below that, about 10 or 15 feet. And another below that, 15 or 20 feet. You've got to dig, then you had to dig 3 wells side by side here to get them 3 sands. And today, you can go through all of them, go in there with a perforating gun, and perforate all those sands out of one hole, see. Well, and
you're going to tell us about Three Sands.
Three Sands. It was pretty rough town. And it had quite a few cable tubes working out of that field. And roads was bad. We worked 12 hours and walked backwards and forwards, And went to dinner one day, shut the rig down and went to dinner. And there was an Indian named Big Chief. So we went up to dinner and they had two logs and it imported somewhere to take care of the oil field, and they was claimed to be awful tough. So they didn't like the Indians at all. So they run Big Chief out of town, told him to never come back. He said, "You know what'll happen if you do?" So Big Chief was the next day was down there and contractor come up and says, "What's the matter, you didn't go to dinner?" He said, "Well," he said, "I told him, you know what they told me." He said, "I went back up to him, what they do to me." And so while he was talking, Big Chief looked over in the car and seen a 45 laying there. So he picks it up, puts it on his belt, and takes off. He goes to town, he goes in the cafe. Well, of course these laws have stool pigeons. They told him that Big Chief was in town. Well, they started down the sidewalks, boardwalks rather, looking in at these cafes a hunting. So Chief, he's sitting back on the first stool with his six-shooter pointing towards the door with a paper over the top of it, acting like he's reading the paper. They come on down this boardwalk and they'd open the door and they'd look in, and they come to this cafe and they jerked the door open and they walked in and they said, "There he is." And about that time, old Big Chief killed both of them.
He didn't give him any chance at all.
Give him any chance at all. He shot both of them down right there in the door. Then they had his trial, he came clear. So, you know, the laws wasn't liked very much. Those guys, because it was rough.
Are there other experiences that you heard of or that you had yourself concerning oil field workers like this one?
Well, yes, I've heard a lot about things that happened, and I don't know what is true or not. I've heard about them digging these wells down there and what all they done about it, but a lot of it I didn't believe and I didn't think much about it. But I'll tell you one thing, it happened when I was working for the Rocky Mountain Oil Company. I went down in a well 36 feet deep. We started to rigged up and started to set surface, digging a 24-inch hole. And we got down 36 feet deep. We had this 24-inch bit on, and we hit a boulder. It stuck out about half out over the hole. Well, this bit would turn on it and then drop back off over the side. We went by it about 20 feet and seen we had a crooked hole. Well, they were talking about building another derrick and starting over. And the superintendent said to me, he says, "Would you go down there and look and see what's the matter?" I volunteered to go down the hole. They bailed a hole out, 24 inches, it was plenty big. I was very slim, small, and weighed about 150 pounds then. Well, I tied a devil bow in the cat line, and they let me down, taking the drop light, and I seen this boulder sticking out over there about 18 to 20 inches thick. Stick out a little over half over the hole. Well, I had them pull me out, and I told them about it. And the superintendent said, "Well, will you go down there and punch a hole in that rock next to the wall?" I said, "Yeah, I'll go if I can have some help." Well, the fireman, he's a little man, he spoke up and said, "I'll help you." So we went down with had a special bar made. We went down and we punched that hole, take about, I'd say 14 inches deep. We take a time about. Well, we got the hole punched out. Then it came time to put the dynamite in there and the fuse. Of course, you didn't know nothing about the electricity, setting off electricity then. And I told him, I said, okay, but I said, I done my part. I dug that hole. I'm not going in there. That's dynamite. So this farmer volunteered to go in the hole. He went in and he set that fuse on fire, and we jerked him out. And he hadn't been out, but just, well, he got out on the floor and got his, stepped out of his cat line. And here went the rocks through the top of the dish. But we went ahead and set pipe, set two joints of 18 inch. We went ahead and set pipe without a bit of trouble. Well, I got a good long vacation out of it. And when I got to Todd, I wanted to go back to work. And superintendent, and I went back, he said, what'd you come back for? I said, well, I'm ready to go to work. He said, all right, he's ready for you. You can stay off as long as you want to.
It's real nice to you then.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add in closing, Mr. Smith?
Yes. Back in the oil field before I retired, a lot of times I promised the Lord that I'd work for him when I retired the rest of my days. And I expect to do that very thing.
We sure do appreciate the interview, Mr. Smith, and thank you again for letting us come into your home and
You're welcome. Anytime you want to stop in and stop by, and I enjoy having you with me and to visit us anytime.
Well, thank you very much.